This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Now, I wanted to find out from you what you believe are the limits when it comes to self-defense and when you think it's taking it a little bit too far. So to help us with this conversation from Mohuba and Partners, I'm joined on the line by attorney Harvey Mohuba. Good morning and thank you so much for your time. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ms. Sagane. I can't complain. Thanks for having me back. It's a long time no speak.
Yeah.
Let me greet our listeners.
Thank you so much for agreeing to come back and have this chat with us. We always have fun when we chat with you. But most importantly, we learn quite a lot when it comes to the law. And today we're talking about self-defense. So in layman's terms, what would be registered as self-defense?
Yeah, you see, since Lagani, single feather is the law's way of saying that you are allowed to protect yourself, mm-hmm. but only when you have to, and only as much as you have to.
Okay.
You know, so in simple terms, self-defense entails using reasonable force to stop an immediate threat of harm to yourself or someone else. And the keywords are imminent threat, imminent and reasonable. You know, if someone's about to hit you right now, you can block, push, or strike back to stop them. You
okay.
know, but once the threat is gone, and I think this is very important to our listeners, once the threat is gone, your right to use force ends because it's about stopping the danger and not punishing the person mm-hmm. afterwards.
Sure, and I love that, you know, you said only as much as you have to re-emphasize that it's not about causing harm but stopping the danger. So does it even make a difference if the incident happened in public versus when, you know, claiming self-defense or, you know, is there a requirement for where it has happened and the type of setup?
Yeah, you see, the basic legal test doesn't change because you are maybe in a mall or you are in your living room.
Mm.
It is still about imminent threat and reasonable force. But where it does make a difference is in practical requirements.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in a public space, right, mm-hmm. you do not have a duty to retreat if you can do so safely. Because, but in your home,
mm-hmm.
You are not expected to run away from your own bedroom.
Sure. And what are the requirements then if it happens? Because, you know, when it's in public, at least you've got the public eye. And in today's age, you've got the cell phones recording as well. But in a private space, as in your home, what are the requirements of proving it actually really was self-defense?
Yeah, you see, then it must be proven that the defense was imminent. It was about to happen to you.
Okay.
Right. And you did take reasonable and minimum defense to try to de-escalate the situation or diffuse that situation. So when you say you do self-defense, we must first look at, what were you defending yourself from? You know,
mm-hmm.
then if someone was trying to punch you, but in return you threw a gun and maybe they were 4 or 5 meters away from you while they were still approaching you,
yeah.
those are kind of things that the court will have to take into consideration.
So then I know you've said only as much as you have to, but at what point does self-defense become excessive and unlawful force?
It flips the moment your response is no longer proportional to the threat. If someone throws a punch, you can throw one back to stop them, you know. But if they're on the ground, this is like unarmed and no longer resisting, but you continue to hit them or run over them or attack them, now it crosses into assault or even attempted murder.
Sure. And then what should then bystanders do if they witness something along these lines? Are they encouraged to intervene or get involved? And also we're talking about their safety here. So what is the appropriate response if you are a bystander witnessing something like this?
And I saw the video that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it does entail some sociological division in it, in that some see justice being restored while others see humanity being lost. You know,
mm.
so it is the same video that exposes the different life experiences, values, and level of trust in the system.
Mm.
You know, but my advice to bystanders is that first prioritize safety. You know,
okay.
first prioritize safety and try to de-escalate the situation only if it's safe to do so.
Mm. Sure, only if it's safe to do so.
Yes. Sure. Try to de-escalate the situation only if it's safe to do so.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking time having this chat with us. This issue is something I want to talk about a little bit more, but in the interest of time, yeah. How do people get in touch with Mukhuba and Partners?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Tlhakane. Mukhuba and Partners is situated at 18 Hans van Rijsberg. We're here in Polokwane, and our telephone number is 015-880-0550. Our email is info@mukhubapartners.co.za.
Thank you so much for chatting with us. It's always a pleasure and we appreciate you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Only in as much as you have to. You can defend yourself only in as much as you have to. But the debate is happening because we kind of, I think there are certain people who just don't believe that the law is giving us enough leeway in terms of protecting ourselves. You know, there are limitations to it and you want to take it all the way. You know what I mean? I think it's just as much as mob justice type of situations. You are not de-escalating anything at that point. Now you are punishing the next person. And I love what the attorney said. It now starts speaking to a lack of trust in the legal system and perhaps even the police in your area. But how far do you think is too far when it comes to self-defense? Let me know on 079-899-6226.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.